Today we're going to talk about playing bigger, as we tend to do, and we're going to do this through a very exact medium today. In past weeks, I've asked you to look at your passions and pick one. Pick the one passion that's really burning inside of you. You know, and if it's not that, as I heard from some of you, at least one that rises to the top. You know, something that you can connect outside of your performing career is a passion you have on this planet. You know, what is something you really care about, and we've done some really great exercises around that in different weeks. We looked at, and then we spent some time looking at where these overlap with our skills as a performer. How can we overlap that with our passions in life, and how can we become a known presence in that niche? And I've done it in a number of niches, and I already have spoken to some of you who are in the process of getting it going on other niche, on your niches, and there's a huge, huge way to play in this world, and some of what we're going to talk about today may just really connect some dots that are floating. Today we're going to take on a new challenge, and I know I just spoke of overwhelm, all right, and I swear I'm not trying to make you crazy on this. When we started this program, I used the word boot camp, and you know that's where you learn a whole bunch of stuff that you'll have in your toolbox forever. There is another new challenge coming today, and put it on the pile, and I already hear some of you guys. Another new challenge today, and today we're going to plant the seed and announce a contest for members of this group, and there's going to be an instant payoff as well as a long-term empowerment in this, and we'll cover that later in the call, and if we don't, I'll cover it in a special call. I'm not going to rob anybody's time today from who's in the group here. So let's welcome a guest on this program. I'm really happy to have him. In the late 80s, he was part of a two-man comedy team that I loved watching. I was really at a young place in my career, and I loved watching this guy. Had so much charisma on stage, and I was just taken in by the way he could hold an audience. I found the most clever ways to really milk, I don't think he'll mind me saying this, but really milk a lot of great comedy out of what we would consider average juggling skills, right? But really just make a show that was phenomenal. And in the ending part of his career, he performed as part of a group called Wild and Haines on the cruise ships around the world. And now creating viral videos as a producer and freelancer and drawing in some really awesome numbers and more exciting than anything, soon to be a first-time father, which, as a father, I'll tell you, man, next year you'll get to hear Happy Father's Day in a whole new way. So I want to welcome Sean. You here?
I'm here, Barry. Thank you.
Hey, Sean. Welcome, man. Yeah, good. Hey, welcome so much. Was that intro pretty close?
That was great. That was great. It really brought me back to our time spent at the Renaissance Fair back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Where we shared a stage.
I know.
Back in the back of the fair, and we traded off show by show, and fantastic memories from that time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what's life like after 25-plus years as a professional juggler? Are you finding some good stuff to do?
Yes, I am. I had a wonderful time in my juggling career, and around 2007, I had been working on the cruise ships for probably close to 18 years, I think,
yeah.
And I think I had reached the pinnacle of that particular format. I couldn't really go anywhere at that time, and I was craving a change, and a friend of mine said, well, the viral video stuff is really off, and you and I should get together and put one together, and so I took the challenge, and we decided to create a music video that would align itself with a headline at the time, which was Paris Hilton was about to serve some jail time for a drunk driving arrest. And so we took one of her songs. She had an album out at the time that was semi-popular, and we took one of her songs, Stars Are Blind, and I rewrote the lyrics to it, and we did a version of it, and then shot the music video with the Paris lookalike. And we timed it so that it would hit the web on the day that she was to check into jail at Norwood facility here in Los Angeles. And we had no idea what would happen from this because we were both very green in the
right.
world of viral video. And viral video itself was a little bit in its infancy, certainly compared to now. So we uploaded our video, not expecting too much, but excited nonetheless to see what would happen. And it started to get a bit of traffic, and we were kind of excited. And then they released Paris from jail for some reason. I can't quite recall, but she was having trouble in jail. And they decided to give her a break. Who doesn't have trouble in jail?
No problem.
But, right. So they decided to let her go home, and we had called the video Paris in Jail, the music video. And so when they decided to let her out, we decided to change the title, which you can do on YouTube, which is one of the fascinating things. You can change your title and all the information about your video at any time.
Mm.
So we changed the title to Paris Gets Out of Jail and Spotted at the Beach. And our video has imagery of her running on the beach with the policeman chasing her. And for whatever reason, that title change struck some crazy chord, and the press got wind of it, and YouTube got wind of it, and YouTube put the video on their front page, which at the time was a different situation. Today, the video was up 800,000 a day for a week, and then it blew up, obviously, from there, and my creative partner and I found ourselves on, you know, Good Morning America and Showbiz Tonight, and it was a whirlwind that was just life-changing quite an experience.
Interesting.
And then a few months later, I decided I was going to go full-time and create videos for this new medium, and I took leave of my juggling show.
Yeah.
Which I do miss, I must say. I miss the life, but I'm happy to be home with my family and my cats.
Yeah. Wow. So I have this video playing on our screen share, and it's titled Paris Hilton in Jail. This has 31.7 million hits on this one. Is there another one also that holds a whole bunch of hits with the out-of-jail title?
Well, no, that's the same video. I changed the title back to the original video, the original title.
Oh, God.
And
great. I see.
Because, yeah, we took advantage of that headline, and then when it all sort of settled down, we changed it back to the original headline.
I love it.
There's only been, yeah, so.
Wow, what a great piece of, I never even knew that. I mean, to be able to change a headline to match what people are actually currently searching in the news, you were able just to pop that up.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about YouTube. The tools they've given to the content creators have become more and more complex as the years have gone by, and they really make it very easy for you to control your media and help you get it to the largest audience.
Yeah.
And they give you very complex analytics as well, so you can see when a video is performing well. You can watch real time when people are engaged on the video and when people might be leaving the video. So that information has allowed me to create sort of a scientific approach on how to create videos that will retain the audience for longer and engage the audience in a more complex way.
Oh, and I want to have you share some of that. I'd love that. I love that. So this video, there's a wrong scene that comes on at the end of that. We don't need to see that. Okay. You can't get to control what comes on at the end of your video, though, for suggested videos. That was a disturbing image that just popped up. You had a background in video production, because obviously this video takes huge advantage of technology. Was this something that you had already had?
Well, I had never shot green screen before, but I had been, when digital video cameras became smaller and higher quality, I believe I purchased my first camera in 1998, and I basically had that little three-chip Sony camera at my side for the next 10 years, and I shot thousands and thousands of hours of what I thought were going to be documentaries and life stories and different
people I was following. I followed an actress around who was trying to make it in L.A., and I shot a group of comedians who would meet every Sunday and play wiffle ball. And I just kept shooting and shooting and shooting and putting together little films, but I really didn't have any way to get them out to the public, and I didn't know if anything was really worthy for film festivals at that point. I was just basically learning the craft and excited about it. But so my experience didn't come from that in-studio green screen type environment, but when it was time to do our video, I thought that would be the most cost-effective way to get a big look for a small amount of money. And so it was finding the right technical people to guide me through that process of the green screen that really made it all work.
Good. Outsourced it and got some knowledge and then put it right to use.
Well, there's so much of the outsourcing that needs to happen in this environment because everything is so fast-paced. I need to delegate a lot of responsibility to others who may do things better than I do. I can write the songs and I can direct the actors and I know how to set up shots. But when it comes to a lot of the post-production things, I delegate, and am happy to do so.
Good for you. And I just love hearing the members of this group hear that. We certainly talk about focusing in the areas, exactly what Sean's saying, of genius and pleasure, where he has his skills writing and producing, directing the actors. And yeah, good. Amen for that. So are you what I've heard this word and seen it in New York Times and all over is a YouTuber. Is that that's a position in life now, and is that something you call yourself? And what does that mean even?
Yeah, I would have to say I am a YouTuber.
Okay.
And I think anybody can be a YouTuber.
Okay.
You really, all you need to do is you start a channel on YouTube and upload your videos. And the way things have changed now, I touched briefly on it in an email to you, but it's quite fascinating. When I started out and the video Paris in Jail broke, we heard about the partner program at YouTube where you can get paid for your videos, for ad revenue that's when ads are placed on your video. And so we applied for the partnership by filling out the paperwork and so forth. And back then, we actually mailed the paperwork into YouTube in a letter made of paper with a stamp on it, if you can imagine that.
Is that amazing?
And it took almost a year from the time we applied to receive partnership and to start receiving income for the ad revenue placed on the video. Just 2 days ago, I started a new channel for a new series that I'm producing now, and I applied for partnership. I started a new AdSense account, and my first video on that channel, which was a test video, became monetized within 2 hours from the process being started. So anybody can be a partner at YouTube now.
I love it.
And it's a wonderful opportunity. It really is, because whether you're making big videos or small videos, you never know if you create the right video at the right time, that could blow up and that will affect your entire channel and any content that you have. One video will cross-pollinate and help all the other videos to be seen by a much larger audience as well.
Is it normal, what you just talked about, to be able to get a channel in 2 hours up and monetized in 2 hours? I mean, whether you're making money on it or not, the ability exists for people to click on an ad. Is that normal? Is that because of the cross-pollination of your bigger number of videos?
No, that's now available to everyone, and I didn't know this until I tried the other day. I thought partnership was still a laborious process where you had to wait and you had to be approved and so forth, and I don't believe there's anybody at YouTube sitting there watching all the videos and approving them, because it would be impossible. 10,000 hours of videos are uploaded to YouTube every minute around the world, and so now it's a complex system of computers that looks at you, somehow checks your video out for content or community guideline infraction, and they gave the green light to my little test video I put on, and it had ads on it within 2 hours. So it's now available to anybody. You go to YouTube, and if you scroll down to the bottom of YouTube's main page, there's a really helpful link. Let me see what it's called. I can pull it up here. I believe it's creators and partners.
Okay.
A link. Yeah, creators and partners. A link at the bottom of the page, and the amazing resources there to explain about how to create a video, how to get a bigger audience, and many how-to videos are posted there that will guide you through the process of partnership.
Wonderful. Hey, let me stick a side note in here just to the group. In the first two versions of Showbiz Blueprint, I interviewed people who actually had huge viral videos and were performers because I wanted to get that input. Sean today is talking about a whole other angle of it, which is so fascinating and such a possible and doable form of passive income for performers. And we'll talk about how he does that in a little while. But just know that you'll also get access to these other two recordings, ones with Chris Bliss, who did the juggling music, and ones with Jason Lipley, who did the evolution of dance. Really fascinating talks. And this is a third level on it. I didn't want to just repeat that. So, good. Yeah, so Sean, so that, you know, begs the question, where does the money come from? I mean, you quit your, you know, lucrative touring around the world and doing fun cruise ships and nice paychecks. Where's the money coming from for this?
Well, the ad revenue from Google, I get a check from Google every month. I have in my mailbox approximately at the 29th or 30th of every month.
Mm.
There's a check from Google, and you basically, all you do is you set up an AdSense account. If you go to AdSense.com, you can fill out the paperwork, and you give them your Social Security number or your business tax number.
Yep.
And it's that simple. You then attach your AdSense account to your YouTube account, and all of this is made quite easy by the YouTube interface. Now, it used to be a lot more complicated, but it's really quite simple, and companies out there that wish to advertise on YouTube will have a list of all the channels that are doing well, all the videos that are doing well, and they can pick and choose a package of videos they want to advertise on. So, for instance, when a movie is coming out, like The Hangover, for instance, big comedy film, they'll go to a lot of the comedy channels, and you can call your channel a comedy channel, which I do. And we happen to get quite a few hits on a monthly basis, daily basis. And so The Hangover trailer played on all of the videos on the channel for a couple weeks prior to the film coming out. So in order to watch one of my videos, you had to sit through The Hangover trailer, which is, you know, either a positive or a negative. But a lot of times they will allow you to watch 5 seconds of that video and then click a link that takes you to the video, so you don't have to sit through the entire trailer if you don't want to.
So this, I'm trying to bring up some to see the ads. I do sometimes see them appearing here down in the lower third of the video, but I can't seem to find one right now. But that's the ad. Is that the ad space, the only ad space that you monetize?
Well, that's correct. I have nothing to do with the placing of the ads or where they go. That's all done by the advertisers themselves. They'll pick a package, probably a ready-made package that they can choose from, or they'll actually pick specific videos they wish to advertise on. Now these ads are in rotation; they'll change frequently. But yeah, that's the source of the total income from YouTube.
Right. It's funny. I can't find one right now, but it's usually a little thing right here. It's got a little tiny. I'm sorry, you're not watching our screen share. Maybe Sarah can send you that link.
The Paris Hilton in jail video is currently not monetized.
Yeah.
Because after years of being monetized, the owner of the song copyright changed. There was some dispute on who owned that song.
Oh.
And so there was a gray area that allowed us to monetize that video. But then when that becomes in dispute, which it did, the ads are taken off. So now if you looked at a video, one of our videos, Harry Potter in the Hood, would be monetized, and you'd probably see an ad, you know, previous to the video playing.
Right.
And then most of our other videos, but some if you use music that is copyrighted, you can, and a lot of times they will allow that, but they'll put ads on it too, but the money from those ads will actually go to the copyright holder. So if I use The Hard Day's Night in a video, for instance, the Beatles song, the Beatles would make the money for that.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
If that makes sense.
Even if you rewrite the words.
Correct.
Yep. Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
Now there's fair use in parody, and many times you can get permission if you go to the copyright holder and say, I want to do a parody, which I've done
okay.
in the past, and you can get permission similar to what Weird Al Yankovic does.
Yes, exactly.
But I find it best to write. What I'm doing now is writing all original songs because I'd rather not deal with any of the copyright red tape, and then mm-hmm. I can also put the songs on iTunes and have a link from the video directly to the place where you can buy the digital audio track. That makes it more profitable.
Right. So here's your Harry Potter and the Hood with 10 million views on it, and after about, 15 seconds, this little ad shows up on the bottom with a little tiny X hidden in there. My feeling is a lot of the revenue comes from people trying to hit that X and miss it. Is that possible?
Very possible. I'm sure it's designed that way.
Yeah. Hilarious. Okay. So, yeah. And so I've never really hit one of these ads, but obviously a lot of people do. So I can hit that ad, and it opens up a new browser tab and takes me to that thing. Yeah, beautiful. And you get a payment on that.
A nickel.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Just made money doing that. So that's fantastic. Thanks for explaining that format of it. Really interesting insight. And you,
my pleasure.
Like you said, that was in the old days that it required mailing something and all kinds of approval, and now you're able to do it in a couple hours. And man, these videos you make, I mean, just looking at this Harry Potter in the Hood, and I know you told me the other day you were kind of rushed, you had to find a Obama impersonator because your guy had dropped out. You're doing real production on this stuff, Sean. This is not thrown together. I mean,
yeah, it starts a few weeks before the shoot. Just any kind of short film you would make or television program, I try to keep on that type of a schedule where, you know, we'll write the song first and then cast it, record the song, and, you know, then there's weeks of planning to get it all done. But the last shoot I did, I shot 3 music videos in one day, so I've got it down to a bit of a science where I can just crank them out in a quick fashion, and
yeah.
it saves a lot of money, a lot of time to do it that way.
Beautiful. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I find the best way to capitalize on YouTube now is not so much with one-off videos like Paris in Jail, which was great, and it hit at the right time and struck a chord, but the best way to really maximize your audience and your subscriber base on YouTube is with a series. And so now I'm taking on the approach of more of a television-like schedule where I'm shooting 3 music videos every 2 to 3 weeks, and then once they go through post-production, I'll start uploading them one a week, every Tuesday or Wednesday, for instance,
okay.
so that the audience knows what's coming and they can get involved with the cast and interact with social media. And it seems to be a much more a profitable way to expand your audience and to get your work out there, to have a series as opposed to a one-off. So if you have a video that's, say you're shooting your act and you want to put your act out there, instead of a 5-minute video, you know, think of 5 1-minute videos that move really fast.
Right.
And another thing for entertainers, I think it's important to really go look at the YouTube how-to videos that explain how to hold on to an audience, because 90% of the people who watch videos online, they click away in the first 15 seconds. Mm. And if you think about it, with a film, there's something called the 10-minute rule for most successful commercial films, where the first 10 minutes you have to have something big that happens and you need to set up your characters and establish a story. And if you don't do that in 10 minutes, you're going to lose a lot of the audience. And with videos, because they need to be short, it's really the 15-second rule. You've got to get. You can't start your video with titles, for instance. A lot of people I see, performers, they'll think kind of old school and they'll have their titles like a film is beginning. But people aren't going to sit through that. There's too many things, tempting them to click away. So you want to start with something big. Maybe 10 seconds in, have a little branding thing like a quick title that lasts only a few seconds, and then get right back into the action. And my advice would be to consolidate, to keep your content package down to 90 seconds, 2 minutes, seems to be a really nice time for a video to keep people compelled and not clicking away.
Right. Well, so I also went to your channel yesterday and checked out what you're doing. Is this Blog Monkey? Is this what you're talking about in terms of creating a series?
Yeah, that was an early stab at a series, and we didn't have the production schedule down as we do today, and so we would do a new Blog Monkey whenever we got a chance, and maybe one a month or one every 3 weeks, something like that.
Gotcha.
And we developed a real nice following for it. It's a very crazy sort of adult-themed puppet show.
A spoof
of the kind of things we'd watch on TV as kids, but it hit a chord with a lot of people, and we got some very devoted fans from it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I see some really good... Oops, let me hit the volume on that. I see some good numbers on that one, too. So are you currently working on a new series? It sounds like that's where you want to really go, where the audience can interact and expect content on a regular basis.
Yes. For me, the way to go is the music video. I found that it's the easiest way to make something that really has a high production value look to it, because sound is so much more important than picture many times. Sound is also the hardest thing to get. You need very good equipment, you need the right space, and oftentimes you'll see a video where the sound sort of destroys the impact that the video has. But with the music video, you can get your sound controlled so well.
Oh, yeah.
Now there's all the tools available for anybody to make a great audio recording. And then with good lip syncing and great backdrop, you really can do something that looks polished and professional.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a series called World's Weirdest Rap Battles, where I pit very strange characters together, and that's going to start uploading probably in mid-July, one a week and through November.
And are you getting the actual rappers? Are you doing how you've done in these videos with impersonators?
It's impersonators, and then some of the characters are represented are not even human beings.
Ah,
I'll put it that way.
So, love that.
But yeah, I love celebrity impersonators, and I have one actor who does many voices. He's really funny, and everything is done now via the web. I'll find all my people on YouTube. I looked up an actor. I needed a Al Pacino impression. And so I typed in Al Pacino impression on YouTube,
yeah.
And this kid popped up. He happened to live 20 miles away from me.
Oh.
So I sent him an email and said, hey, I'm casting for Al Pacino. And he says, I'm in. And it was done in a matter of minutes. And I'll get all my tech people on Craigslist. And it's really amazing how producing has become a much easier, faster, and economical thing than it used to be.
So,
thanks to the internet.
Yeah. Oh man, that is. Yeah, you've done everything. I mean, you've just done everything right. And especially, I want to just go back to how you've managed to focus on the parts that you love and you're really good at, and get rid of the other stuff. Because, boy, I mean, just looking at a video like the Paris Hilton video, the amount of technology in there, you could have been covered in detail and learning and how to do all this stuff. But instead, it's like, no, that's not where you saw this thing up making money. You didn't see this being a lifetime project for you. Do it and get on to the next one. I love it. Hey, so what can you talk about as far as a structure? You know, I know you may be able to help people kind of understand some new school ways of creating a video that can, has a better chance of taking off and being passed on. I know Chris Bliss, when we talked to him, he was like, it was kind of pre-YouTube, and he had emailed it to someone, and all of a sudden he ended up with a $15,000, he puts the number on our recording, but it was like a $15,000 bandwidth usage 1 month, and he goes, what the hell happened? So yeah, that email was actually sitting on his server and being played out that way, which was terrible.
Wow, yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing the Chris Bliss video, too.
Yeah.
It's quite inspiring. Well, that's a perfect example. And that happened to be his act,
yep.
But it also lends itself to the kind of new school thinking. He had a great piece of music, obviously,
mm-hmm.
the Beatles track, and the wonderful juggling routine with it. And because that was part of his act, it was a lucky happenstance that it transcribed very well to an internet piece. For instance, the juggling act, if you want to promote your product and you want to take a different path than the average performance video, which I think is important, you know, my suggestion would be to think of something outside the realm of your stage show, but something that still draws on your stage persona. For instance, create a song. I always go back to music video because I just find it a great way to reach an international audience. And if you created a music video of some kind that incorporates your skills, or maybe put yourself in a different location, that would be interesting, and not necessarily the standard performance video, man, woman on stage in front of an audience, because we've been inundated with that type of video since the beginning of recorded media. Everyone knows it, and it's not that exciting, and it's in a little box on a computer screen. So thinking outside the box and what something new and different is really the way to go. I'm fascinated with when I see somebody who's taken their act from the stage and then incorporated some new direction, some new method to make it appeal to the internet short-term attention span generation.
Yes. Well, I love this idea of, you know, we have the feed. We can look on eBay Pulse. We can look on Google Pulse and find out what people are thinking about right now. And, yeah, like you're saying, can we take something that we've done on stage forever and make it talk about what's happening now, and for God's sakes, use the headline the way you did. I mean, changing it to Paris Hilton gets out of jail. I mean, that's probably what people were searching, and your video comes up.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The best thing to do is get on the web. YouTube has a channel called YouTube Trends, and you can see what are the top 10 videos, what are people talking about, and I do things like track Billboard charts to see what song is going to be big. It's a song that's big now, but it's shooting really high. Mm. Well, you have a little time to, if you want to use that song and incorporate that into your act, and you put that title of that song into your video, that video is going to get hits no matter what, because people are searching for that song all day long around the world. And so it's a wonderful way to go. Follow the Google Trends, follow the Yahoo Trends. What are people searching for? That's very, very good advice.
Yeah, I love that idea, and I think it's also just a powerful way to help somebody understand something. You know, I'm kind of a news moron. I don't really do any of that, but I love if someone can tell me about something. I mean, the way Saturday Night Live used to. I mean, they were great at that, but can we take something, if you're a balloon twister or a ventriloquist or something, can we get some new spin on it that catches on and people have to pass on? And can we build some huge numbers? And then, you know, then the whole thing you're adding is, can we spend an hour setting up an AdSense campaign to stick on there and just, you know, let something else happen? Love that.
Right. It's I think, the great time to do it, a great time for content creators. The YouTube is going to be a channel on every television. Google's putting out their own line of TVs, and eventually all TVs will have a YouTube channel. So you might as well get in, jump in, and start your channel, and you'll have your own network, and it's fabulous time to be a content creator for that reason.
Wow. You know, man, when we were young, it's like the whole dream was you have to either, you know, you got to hope you get on The Tonight Show or something, so, you know, some other guy can give you the hand. It's like, that's gone.
Exactly right. And also the spirit of competition, which, you know, can be healthy, but it also can hurt if you become obsessed with it. It's really gone, because the whole concept of competition, especially in show business, has changed drastically with the mass internet expansion, because it's now really the ultimate level playing field. Everyone has a video camera. Everyone has a way to put a video on the internet, press a button, and potentially reach millions. So the cream will rise to the top. If you make something great, you make something really funny, there's a good chance that eventually, possibly sooner than later, in many cases, you'll develop a sizable audience and a following. Mm. You just have to get out there and take the best of what you do and figure out a way to package it a little bit differently than you might think, a little bit more new and hip and, you know, like we said, attaching it to something that's current.
So inspiring, Sean. And also, I mean, just look at the last two guests we had on this program on this week was Chris Bliss, who did three-ball juggling, okay? There's three-ball juggling videos on YouTube with four hits, and they'll never go up to five. So there's that.
That's right.
And then also Jetson with the Evolution of Dance. There's, you know, millions of people dancing, and to do something just like Sean just said, just a little bit differently.
Both of those examples take to heart what I truly believe in, which is music is the ultimate key to what you're doing. If you can attach yourself to a great music track that reaches a chord and affects people emotionally, and in the case of Justin Lapley, he just took 30 of the best tracks there were, and that you can't deny. In fact, when I saw that video years and years ago, I changed my whole juggling act, which I was still doing at the time, and just made it about music. And also Chris Bliss inspired me to do the same thing, because you can't lose when you ride on the backs of giants.
Right.
Chris Bliss rode on the back of that Beatles song to the top of the internet, and Justin Lapley rode on the back of all of those great artists and, you know, became a partner with those great artists.
Absolutely. And you talked earlier about copyright problems and, you know, what might arise from that, and Chris shared an amazing thing. Chris was a... His video took off so big, Ringo Starr put it on his webpage, and he wrote an email to Chris that said, if you ever get any hassle about copyright from YouTube, have them write me.
Right. That's one of the great things. When you know you're going to use a track like that, and if it goes big, the people that created that track are going to see it, and that's just a wonderful thing. When in the day could you, you know, get an email from Ringo Starr by, you know, just... It just wouldn't happen. It's just,
right.
Everything's changed.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I have two more questions. We've got a few more minutes. I hope you all right for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Have you had any interesting opportunities that you can share that have come from, you know, racking up millions and millions of hits on your videos? Anything come to mind when I ask you that?
Oh, sure. The best thing is that you have a wonderful calling card that's out there.
Mm.
A resume, if you will. My website was on for a few years, theomovies.com, and it really wasn't getting the traffic. All the traffic was going to YouTube. So I let the website lapse. I'm in the process of rebuilding it for the launch of my new series.
Mm.
But it really, to have that place card on YouTube with all of your stuff where you can just send somebody a link has been wonderful. And people have stumbled on the videos, obviously, just by surfing the net. And I've had many jobs that have come through, not just freelance type work, where somebody will need a video. There was a kid on the internet, Fred, who is this kid, from the Midwest, and he speeds up his voice, and he's got 8 billion followers, and, you know, 20 billion hits. He's one of the most successful stories on the web, and he saw the Paris in Jail and the Harry Potter in the Hood, and he wanted a video similar, and got in contact, and so I created a video for him called Christmas Cash, and that went on to, you know, do wonderful things for him and also for me, because then more people started calling, and one of the greatest things is everybody wants a viral video these days, all companies and manufacturers and entertainers, and so occasionally I'll get a call from somebody who needs a commercial, like I was telling you about the Obama thing, and that's for a viral video campaign that's selling electronic cigarettes.
Mm.
So we're doing a play on the fact that Obama's, you know, quit smoking, or apparently is trying to quit smoking, and so it's a commercial for the electronic cigarette using an Obama impersonator in a music video format. So it's just one of the jobs that have come through this, this wonderful thing.
So fun. I have this Fred one playing on the screen right now, man. That looks so fun. I mean, that thing's up in the 20 million views area.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
Great numbers, man.
And that's all shot in my living room. These videos are, I built a house here in Venice Beach, and one of the reasons I built it the way I did was I knew I wanted to get into video production, so I have a big 20-foot ceilings, and I can just roll up the green screen in the back and bring in the cast and crew and shoot one day, then get them out back to a living room again.
Get them out and back to so good. Well, good. Hey, is there any downside to having hundreds of millions of YouTube hits that we may not be aware of that you can?
The only downside would be if you get too involved in all of the commentary people say. There's a lot of people on the internet who see something that may be popular, and they really love to knock it down a peg. So you get a lot of strange emails, criticizing you, and a lot of people will leave comments, but it doesn't do anything to me. The first wave of negative comments that came in the beginning was quite a shock, because when you're a performer, usually people don't come up to you after the show and go, "You suck."
Right, exactly. Right. And I believe the only...
they thought.
They may have thought of it, but they left with that thought. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And I think the only requirement for leaving a YouTube comment is that you can't have a full grasp of the English language. I think that's one of the most important pieces. These are not...
Right. There's a definite code. There's a code to that.
Yeah. Decipher the code, so don't listen to it. Hey, I just want to... did you say there was a question? I'd like to open it up. I mean, I could talk to Sean forever, but let me not.
I think there is one. Let me see here. Hey, Brian, did you have a question? You had your hand up.
Yeah, just a quick one. Thanks. It's Brian Glow speaking. In terms of the music, you were saying that if you use other people's music, that the producers get the music owners get the money. Does that happen because of a length of time, or like if you have 5 second bits, does that mean that you can still use it and monetize it, or is it that they're all going to get the money anyways, no matter what?
Oh, hey, Brian. Well, it's different case to case, because every copyright holder might have a different opinion. For instance, Ringo Starr loved the Chris Blitz video, and so Chris got to use that video. Whether or not he monetizes it, I'm not sure. But as I said, it's different on case to case, because copyrights can be a very complicated thing. Who's the owner?
Yeah.
Do they want to get permission? A lot of times you can proceed without permission, and then the copyright holder will get wind of it and see it. And if they like it, they will give permission, and then you can get ads on it, and then you can make the money from those from those ads. That being said, there is a whole host of music out there, a whole batch of music, rather, that you can get royalty-free and use it and put your ads on. I have resources. I can send various links, if you like, of just wonderful music that you can get. That, of course, you won't be taking a pop hit, but if you want to avoid that potential conflict, you can always use royalty free.
And literally,
if you do use a...
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
So if you do use, say, a hit song, say you've got a funny idea, and I've got several, that you want to use popular music, you just don't bother monetizing it. You just use it to get the hits.
Right, exactly. You can use it, and you're going to be using it just to get the hits at that point. Now, that can be an incredible thing. I did a video recently for a friend of mine, a comedian, had a song called Drunk Girl, and I just made a compilation video of crazy clips of people being silly when they're intoxicated. And it went on to get 17 or 18 million views. And eventually the record company that had that track got wind of it and monetized it for their usage. But all the hits that it received generated the traffic to all my other videos, so much so that my revenue jumped about 50% while that video was rising up in the charts.
Wow.
So use any music you want and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. At the worst, it gets pulled down. My promo reel, for some reason, Raspini's promo reel is silent on YouTube because someone probably complained about something, but... Whatever it is.
That does happen. That does happen, and it's unfortunate. But
yeah, no big deal. It's fine. So,
one great way to sort of protect yourself there is to go search for your song that you want to use on YouTube and find out if there are parodies of it. And if it's a popular song, there probably will be parodies or people using the music. And if you can find other videos that have the music and you can hear it, you're probably good to go.
You file a complaint with them or something, or a way to resolve that?
Well, there's very specific guidelines to using other people's copyrighted material. So you have to, when you click monetize, they're going to make you check a bunch of boxes. And if you check a box and it turns out that it's incorrect, for instance, that you don't have the right to use that, then they can just pull the video, or even worse, they could, like, shut you down completely. But they rarely do. But it has happened.
Yeah, it's funny. This video is just bumper tracks that come on. It's a videotape of a live performance in a hall that was, licensed through ASCAP and all that. So it's funny. It was just a live recording, but somehow it got in there that, whatever, it's here nor there. But just know that that can happen even if your promo tape is a recording of a live show. It's not like even a video I made or monetized, but they yanked the audio from it. So get to see what we look
right, like. Right, and YouTube has a beef with certain copyright holders. There are some people that will definitely not let their music be played on YouTube, and then there are others that are much more free about it. So a little research can help if you're if you're wondering if your track is going to be cleared.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, and another good idea is probably just to repost it and start over. Who knows what happened in the when that happened. My scary story I carry about myself is that it was probably one of my competitors that just said, I don't want their thing up, and they got music and filed a complaint because I know there was a little button for that. And who cares? It's all good. Well, good. Sean, man, I can't thank you enough for showing up and playing with us today. Just really incredible. You have such a, like I said, I've been a fan of yours for almost 30 years, just watching what you do, and I have no doubt you bring in the joy and passion to this that you did to performing, and it's fun to watch. And I'm going to post a couple of your videos for our people to check out, and I think you've inspired this group in a way. I just get that feeling that you shine a light on something that's been hiding in the corner, and that's what I really love doing with these people, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a big fan of yours as well, and I wish all of your people the best, and hey, be my friend on social media. Find me on Facebook, everybody, and let's network with each other. I'd love to hear from you, and I'm always available for any questions or advice of any kind. I'd love to network.
Good. And I'll hook you up. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and have a good day, man. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Bye. Wow, guys. Yeah. Love that conversation. Yeah. We got some people already bolting comments in through the chat box, and thanks for that. Really good to hear that. Sean has played in this world, and it's great. So I want to just wrap up a few things that I really heard in this. Everything in this program we're doing is planting a seed. Put this in your mind. Just bury this in your mind somewhere and let it start to develop and grow, especially the part where we talked about how can we, we talked about this in terms of combining who we are as performers with who we are as what we have passions for. So how can it plant? What can it look like to take this into? And I love Sean's thing of 90 seconds to 2 minutes. I mean, that's his sweet spot on videos. So give yourself time and place to doodle on this. Give yourself even just breaking it up into a little part of your day, maybe a 5-10 minute place in the morning in bed where you can just think, what can I do with this stuff, or what can I do, and don't beat yourself up. Keep it short and keep the story moving. Sean certainly talked about the importance of storyboarding and keeping it moving. And start playing with these arenas. These are good little arenas to play with. Your passions, especially if they're out there, use the eBay Pulse. Use the Google What's Happening Now. There's all kinds of great searches to find out what people are actually looking at. Farce, a new point of view on something that is accepted one way. You see it another way. Rock the boat, all right? Don't be shy on this stuff. And good. And I know our next guest is here, and I don't want to waste a minute of his time.